Our scripture passage this morning comes from Daniel chapter 6. It is a long reading, so feel free if you would like to sit. Otherwise, please remain standing for the reading of God's holy word. Daniel chapter 6. And it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps to be throughout the whole kingdom, and over them three high officials, of whom Daniel was one, to whom these satraps should give an account, so that the king might suffer no loss. And this Daniel became distinguished above all the other high officials and the satraps, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. And then the high officials, the satraps, sought to find ground for complaint against Daniel with regard to the kingdom, but they could find no ground for complaint or any fault, because these men said, "We shall not find any ground for complaining against Daniel's God." And then these high officials and satraps came by agreement to the king and said to him, "O King Darius, live forever. All the high officials of the kingdom and the prefects and the satraps and the counselors and the governors are agreed that the king should establish an ordinance and enforce an injunction that whoever makes petition, that is praise to any god or man for 30 days, except to you, O king, shall be cast into the den of the lions. Now, O king, establish the injunction and sign the document so that it cannot be changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be revoked." And therefore, King Darius signed the document and the injunction. And when Daniel knew that the document had been signed, he went to his house, where he had windows in his upper chamber open towards Jerusalem. And he got down on his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before God, just as he had done previously. And then these men came by agreement and found Daniel making petitions and pleas before his God. And then they came near and said before the king concerning the injunction, "O king, did you not sign an injunction that anyone who makes petition to any god or man within 30 days except to you, O king, shall be cast into the lion's den?" And the king answered and said, "The thing stands fast according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be revoked." And then they answered and said before the king, "Daniel, who is one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you, O king, or the injunction that you have signed, but makes his petition three times a day." And then the king, when he had heard these words, was much distressed. And he set his mind to deliver Daniel, and they labored until the sun went down to rescue him. And then these men came by agreement to the king and said to the king, "Know, O king, that it is the law of the Medes and the Persians that no injunction or ordinance that the king establishes can be changed." And then the king commanded, and Daniel was brought and cast into the den of the lions. And the king declared, "O Daniel, may your God, whom you serve continually, deliver you." And a stone was brought and laid on the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet, and with the signet of his lords, that nothing might be changed concerning Daniel. And then the king went to his palace, and he spent the night fasting, and no diversions were brought to him, and sleep fled from him. And at the break of day, the king arose and went in haste to the den of the lions. And he came near to the den where Daniel was, and he cried out in a tone of anguish. The king declared, "O Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions?" And Daniel said to the king, "O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths, and they have not harmed me, because I was found blameless before him, and also before you, O king. I have done no harm." And the king was exceedingly glad, and he commanded that Daniel be taken up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no kind of harm was found on him, because he had trusted in his God. And then the king commanded, and those men who had maliciously accused Daniel were brought and cast into the den of lions, they, their children, their wives, And before they reached the bottom of the den, the lions overpowered them and broke all of their bones in pieces. And King Darius wrote to all peoples and nations and languages that dwell in all the earth, "Peace be multiplied to you. I make a decree that in all my royal dominion, people are to tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God, enduring forever. His kingdom shall never be destroyed. His dominion shall be to the end. He delivers and rescues. He works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth. He who has saved Daniel from the power of the lions." And so Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian. It's the reading of God's holy word. You may be seated. What a tremendous account we have there. It stirs up so many emotions just reading it, just hearing it. A tremendous and powerful account, a powerful witness to God, to His sovereignty, His absolute sovereignty, and His faithfulness to His people. And we come here to this passage, and we can get wrapped up into the story. And what I'd like us to do is as we come, we'll get wrapped up into the story. But to realize what the point of the story is, its goal. Remember, Daniel is in a Gentile nation; they are in exile. This account itself is even written in Aramaic, the language of the Gentiles, not in Hebrew. This is a witness, and it's a testimony. It's a witness and a testimony to the Gentile world, all the world, even to the Jews that are living there, but to the Gentiles as well, of who this God is. Who He is, what he does, and why it is that all people should tremble in fear before Him. And don't hear those words, "tremble in fear before Him," as intense, scary words. They don't appear as tense verbs in the Hebrew, in the language. Rather, they're just plainly stated. These are words of worship. Tremble in fear before Him. It's the very words that if we were to turn back to Psalms, in Psalm 2, these very words we hear in the Psalms, in Psalm 2, verse 10, starting there, "Now therefore, O kings, be wise and be warned, O rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest He be angry with you and you perish in the way. Blessed are those, all those who take refuge in Him." Tremble in fear before God. It's a call to worship. Darius, King Darius here is making this call. "Peace be multiplied to you," just like Nebuchadnezzar. "I want to share with you the peace I have come to know. Come, all people, tremble in fear before the Lord. Come and worship." This very story, all of these encounters, Daniel's whole purpose, I believe, and his friends, that the exile, God is using them to witness these things to the Gentile world, a forced mission, if you will, that they might learn to worship God. And it's one of the interesting things about our lives. It's something that we can always count on. In life, things change. Everything changes. The seasons change. We change with the seasons. And everything that we get involved with changes. Everything. Constantly, every day, changing. It all changes. The word creation itself is defined as a process of bringing something into being. Changing something. It implies change. Creation or change is a fundamental attribute by which God Himself distinguishes Himself from the creation. The creation changes. God does not. God does not. As He Himself has said, I, the Lord, do not change. Which in the context of Malachi 3:6 is very good news. Because, as the Lord goes on to say, therefore you, O children of Jacob, are not consumed. It's because He does. It's very good news indeed for their salvation as well as ours. And all who will come to God through faith dependent entirely on the fact that God does not change. Says God Himself. We can be certain of this. We can have absolute assurance of this. Absolute assurance. Because the Lord Himself has said it. He has said it. For all of Scripture, we are told, has been breathed out by Him. All of Scripture. And His Word, this Word in which we hold in our hands this morning, we have read, we hear, this word we have right here in front of us is no different than anything else that properly belongs to God Himself. It's no different. If God does not change, then neither does His breath. Neither does His word. It never changes. His breath, interestingly enough, the same in the Hebrew or in the Greek, the spirit, pneuma, breath. His spirit does not change, and neither does His word. The word that was with Him in the beginning, the word that was Him, the word that was God, the word that became flesh and dwelt among us, Jesus Christ Himself, who is the same today, yesterday, and forever, does not change. That's why you can believe this. It does not change. God does not change. And as Daniel has recorded, the same can and has rightly been said of God's dominion and of God's kingdom as well. The lips of Nebuchadnezzar, His dominion is an everlasting dominion, and His kingdom endures from generation to generation. His kingdom shall never be destroyed, and His dominion shall be to the end. His kingdom shall never be destroyed. His dominion shall be the end. Because these, you understand, are also a part of who He is. And He does not change. He is the Lord, Yahweh, the living God who lives forever and endures forever. and who does not change. The one and the only one within whom there is no variation or change. And that cannot be said about the creation. It cannot, nor of anything in the creation. For although the creation was brought into being by God, it's not a part of His being. He didn't make the creation out of Himself. He made it ex nihilo, out of nothing. He brought it into existence. And unlike God, the creation, though very good, is subject to change. And the only explanation, the best explanation I've ever heard for why that is, why God created the creation that way, is because that He didn't create puppets. He made us very good. He made us in His image that we could commune and fellowship and live with Him forever. By our own choice. That we might choose Him. That we might serve Him. That we might worship Him. And live before Him with fear and trembling. Forever. But things changed. And sadly, on account of Adam and Eve's sin, all of creation changed. Tragically for the worse, that's the bad news. That's the bad news. The good news, once again, God did not change. What God writes is no different than anything else that He does. He does not change. He has written the names of His people in His book of life from all eternity. That's what the Scripture means when it says, before the foundations of the world, what He has written Himself does not change. He does not change. He chose them in Christ before the foundations of the world that they should be holy and blameless before Him. He chose them in Christ. In love, He predestined them. For adoption to Himself as sons and daughters through Jesus Christ. According to His eternal will, to the praise and of His glorious grace with which He has blessed us in Jesus Christ. The same today, yesterday, and forever. And He does not change. We change. The creation changes. He does not change. He still rules the kingdoms of men and gives them to whom He will. None can stay His hand. None can say to Him, what have you done? He delivers, He rescues, He works signs and wonders in heaven and earth, all for the good of those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. His eternal purpose, even before the foundations of the world. It hasn't changed. We have changed, but He has not changed. And Daniel, who by this time in his life would have been somewhere probably in his 80s, older than everybody here, he had known these things. He had known this about God from his youth. He had known it when he still lived in the corruption of Jerusalem. He knew it when the Lord gave Jerusalem into the hands of King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon. He knew it when he was taken as a young man, probably in his early teens, as an exile to Babylon. He knew these things. He knew them during the reign of many kings. The last that we just read about, Nabonidus and his son Belshazzar. Even when he was all but forgotten during that reign, he remembered these things. He knew these things about God. And he might not have understood why all of those things were happening to him. Why the world and his entire life was changing all the time. And then not just minor changes, radical changes. It's a seesaw up and down. He started out as a lowly servant in the courts. He was raised to one of the highest positions in all of Babylon, only to be utterly forgotten during the reign of Belshazzar. He didn't know him, didn't respect him, didn't care. And only now to be brought back to this high position and because of his faithfulness, on account of the spirit that was in him, once again, he was positioned to become the highest ruler in the land. Only to be subject to being fed to the lions. Just a few short days later. He may not have understood why these things were happening. But he knew one thing. God does not change. It does not change. That he is the God of gods. And he is the Lord of kings. And a revealer of mysteries. That he would set up a kingdom that would never be destroyed. It would never be left to another people. And that kingdom would break into pieces all the kingdoms of men. Bring them to their end. And that kingdom alone would stand forever. Not because of anything that men were doing. But because God does not change. He lives forever. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom endures from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth, they're counted as nothing. They change. God does not change. God does not make his plans and carry out his will based on what men do. They change. God does not change. And he does according to his own will in the hosts of heaven and among the inhabitants of earth. None can stay his hand and none can even ask, why do you do that? Is all his works right? All his ways are just. And he knows how to humble those who walk in pride. And he does not change. He knows, he knew by this time in his life that the God, this God who does not change, had delivered his friends from the fiery furnace. Was that he was certain that he was able to deliver him from this lion's den, and that he would deliver him out of the hands of his enemies. And even if he did not, even if it was God's will that he should suffer for doing good, even suffer the loss of his own life by lions, he would not serve and would not worship any other. What would be the point? They all change. Only God does not change. As he is the Most High. He is the Most High, and he rules the kingdoms of men. He gives them to whom he will. He changes them and they change. And in Daniel's lifetime alone, Nebuchadnezzar, Amel, Marduk, Margol, Shaussar, Labasi, Marduk, Nabonidus, Belshazzar, Darius, Cyrus. God rules the kingdoms of men and he sets on them whomever he will. Even the lowliest of men. Why worship them? They change. God does not change. All peoples, nations, and languages that dwell on the earth, you understand, should tremble and fear before God and God alone. He alone does not change. They should serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. They should seek refuge in him, where they will be blessed, where they will have peace, because they will find it in nothing else, and in no one else. Everything in creation changes. God does not change, ever. What are those who worship the Most High God? What are those who tremble in fear, serve him and worship him? What do they have to fear? Loving the Lord your God with all your heart, strength, soul, and mind, and loving your neighbor as yourself is as good for everyone as it is for you. There is no denying that. Even under the scrupulous eye of his enemies, no ground or complaint or any error or fault could be found against Daniel. You have nothing to fear when you serve God, when you worship God, when you tremble in fear before him. You're doing the best you possibly could for your fellow man. We don't need to be Daniel in order to be faithful. You can be you. There's nothing that distinguishes Daniel from any other person on the face of this earth than what he received from God. Not even Daniel could be a Daniel apart from the spirit that God had given him. That same spirit, you understand, that God promises everyone who comes to him through his Son, Jesus Christ. That's who you need to be faithful. You need the Spirit of Christ. And God gives him freely. To everyone who comes to him through Jesus Christ, his Son. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. These are fruits of the Spirit. They are not fruits of men. Men change, God does not. It's the Spirit who leads us and produces these fruits in us. And he does that trial by trial, little by little, cleansing us of the pollution of sin, and conforming us more and more into the image of Jesus Christ. We may recognize such fruits in men, but we mustn't seek them there. As a pastor, I'm not going to be able to make you fill you with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. I can't do that for you. And point you to the one who does, who can. Nobody can do that for you. God can. These are His fruits, His gifts, His blessings. So don't ever think you find these things from people. You can see them in people, but you cannot find them or get them from those people. You mustn't ever think that, lest you seek in vain from idols what only God can give. The fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, patience, peace, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. That's why no matter how hard they sought, they couldn't find anything against Daniel. That's not to say that wicked men and women will not invent and pass laws against such things as prayer, the chief means by which it pleases God to give these things. Clearly they do. We see it in the text of Scriptures. We see it in our own day. The threats against praying, even forbidden prayer in certain contexts, graduations, after football games. Even if you don't solicit people, you cannot pray in public venues like that because people feel like you're coercing them. I tell you, I lived most of my life as a pagan. I played football. I watched people pray. I grew up around a Christian community. I was never offended. I didn't care. Do whatever you want, man. That's what I thought about it. I don't have to do it. These people, they declare good is evil. They declare that evil is good. They intentionally set out to do these things. But you may be certain that no matter how good it sounds, legally, you are being deceived. You are being duped. Literally, by the oldest trick in the book, this book. The oldest trick in the book. If anyone flatters you and offers you some way that you can become as God and decide for your own very self what is good and what is evil, run. They're trying to deceive you. O King Darius, live forever. O King, live forever. We think you should establish an ordinance and enforce an injunction that whoever makes petition to any god or man for 30 days, except for you, O King, shall be cast into the den of the lions. Now, O King, establish the injunction, sign the document, so that it cannot be changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be revoked. O King, live forever. It's just with Adam and Eve, no sooner had the document been inked, had it been signed, King Darius realized that he had been deceived into making one of the biggest mistakes of his life. But the advice and the flattery of those counselors who above all else wished merely to deceive him for their own gain. Daniel was the only thing stopping them. His faithfulness to the king was the only thing stopping them from fleecing the king to his loss. He just signed a death warrant to one man in all of his kingdom who was faithful to him. And like Adam and Eve, there was absolutely nothing he could do about it. Try as he may, do what he could, according to the law, the Medes and the Persians, it could not be revoked. A comment repeated no less than four times in this passage. It could not be revoked. Just like the wages of sin is death, it cannot be revoked. When Daniel heard of it, he went to his house, to his upper chamber, to his window. He got down on his knees three times a day and he prayed and gave thanks before his God, but he didn't do it out of desperation. He did it just as he had always done. For kings change. The nations change. And governments change, and laws change. But God does not. At the end of the day, distraught, exhausted, defeated, Darius reluctantly, at the insistence of those who had deceived him, whom he knew had deceived him, gave the command. Daniel was brought and cast into the den of the lions. And ironically, all the king could do was pray. Even a short little prayer, Daniel, may the God whom you serve continually deliver you from the lions. And then the rock was put on the cave, then, and it was sealed, not to be revoked. There was nothing the king could do. But pray. The very injunction that he forbid. That's all he could do. And you can imagine, having not been able to eat, his mind racked to no end. He couldn't think of anything else that could possibly be done. He was unable to sleep. As he waited for the crack of dawn, the first possible light, and he ran to the place of the lion's den. He ran with haste, the scripture says. Mind you, this is king of all of Babylon, running from his palace in haste to the lion's den and crying out in anguish. Extremely sad, troubled voice. Only to hear Daniel answer, "O king, live forever." It's glorious. It's glorious. It's glorious. And it's only because God doesn't change. God does not change. Therefore, we are not consumed. That's something that those who believe in Christ and come to God can rejoice over. And the rest, the things that happen after that, are something that those who rebel and refuse, who seek to worship themselves, should consider very, very carefully. Their behaviors, it's not just them, their children and their wives were cast into the den of the lions. And they were attacked so ferociously that their bones were broken even before they hit the floor. Because God does not change. It is sad and it is tragic. But the wicked will perish, just as the righteous will be saved. And for the same reason, God does not change. He is the living God, enduring forever. His kingdom shall never be destroyed. His dominion shall be to the end. He delivers and He rescues. He works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth. And He who has saved Daniel from the power of the lions. All peoples, nations, languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied to you. All people are to tremble in fear before the God of Daniel. Serve Him and worship Him. Be wise, be warned. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest He be angry with you and you perish in the way, for His wrath is quickly kindled. Blessed are all who take refuge in Him. He doesn't change. Let us pray. Heavenly God, Almighty Father, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the eternal three in one, eternal in all of your being and all that you say and all that you do. Father, we humble ourselves before you. We thank you, Lord, and rejoice in our salvation. And Lord, we tremble and we fear. We work out your salvation. As Apostle Paul tells us in the New Testament, with fear and trembling, Lord, because we know it is you who work in us to will and to work according to your good pleasure. Father, we pray and give thanks to you that you do not change, even when we do. Father, we pray and give thanks to you that your promises are sure and certain and firm, that we can rest assured in your word, that every word, every single word in Scripture, these you have breathed out yourself. So, Father, we rejoice in our salvation. We rejoice that it is by your hand, by your grace alone, and merely because you do not change. We take no credit ourselves. We pray that you would protect us from taking credit ourselves, from holding ourselves before others as if we we could give them these gifts and the benefits of Christ. We can't. Father, your Spirit enables us to point others to you, not ourselves. And so, Father, teach us these things more and more. Let us to learn these things more and more, that we might rightly glorify you as we ought. We might rightly share your gospel as we ought. That we might rightly walk before you in a manner worthy of your gospel. Worthy of the good news that you have not changed. That you have loved us from before the foundations of the world. That you love us now and you will love us forever. Not because of us, but because of who you are. And so, Lord, we pray this morning, we pray that you would work this into our hearts and our minds. Enable us, Lord, to serve you and to rejoice in trembling. We ask all of this according to your word and in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.